2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 through 18. Here the word of God says, "Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. And count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and the unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." Here in Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter is saying his final words. Peter concludes his letter with some final words and instructions. He reminds us that since we are waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus, we need to make every effort to be found in two conditions. Number one, without spot or blemish. And number two, at peace. Without blemish, without spot, and at peace. Now, interestingly, Peter connects this admonition to verse 10, where he used the same Greek word to describe how the earth and our works will be exposed. We read in 2 Peter 3 and 10, he says, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done in it will be exposed." And so when we look at this, there is a reality. Judgment will come. We have to be prepared for it. Not, you know, at one point I used to be afraid of this word called judgment, you know, because I used to be bad, y'all. I'm just being real. Judgment used to scare me because when, you know, kids, it's an old saying that my grandmother used to say, if you're scared, it means you probably did something wrong. You're probably doing something wrong. But that's how I was raised. On the day when all is revealed, what will be exposed in our lives? Will lives of holiness and spotlessness be exposed? Will a life full of rebellion and sinfulness be exposed? Or will a life of washed away sins be found because we put our trust in Jesus? When our lives are exposed, God wants lives that were making effort to be holy and spotless, not full of unrepentant sins and rebellion. God cleanses us through the blood of Jesus, and we need to make every effort to stay clean. Make every effort. Now, as we are going through our classes in the back in our marriage class, one of our thoughts is our communications and making every effort to make sure that we have an open communication, that we are talking with one another, that we are applying godliness and holiness to our relationships. And, it goes hand in hand as being a Christian. Marriages is just a thought of being Christian. And as we work one with another. And so in this, we are going to try to make every effort to stay clean. Doesn't mean that we're going to be spotless, but it means that we're going to make every effort to stay clean. We do not want to be found as Peter described in the Proverbs, and Proverbs 2 and 22. He says, like a dog returning to his own vomit and a pig returning to the mud, we must be clean. We must be found cleansed. We must be in a condition of cleanliness when the Lord returns. Second, we find we need to be at peace. In these times, it's hard to be at peace. We're constantly being bombarded by garbage. It's very hard to be at peace. But Peter says we must be at peace in order to be successful Christians in this world. Peter wrote to them about this in his first letter. He says, let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 11. Notice that both letters emphasize the same two aspects, that we must be without spot or blemish, and we must pursue peace, be found at peace. There has to be something important to that. We should not underestimate the importance of doing our part to be at peace with God and with others. There are many who think Christianity is about stirring up problems and causing tension rather than peace. I was good for stirring up problems and causing tensions in others. But I give God the glory because with maturity and time, I have come not to be, you know, y'all, when I first was baptized, if you did not agree with me, you had a time on your hand because I'm going to beat you down with that Bible. With maturity and time comes the wisdom that God wants us to have to pursue peace with everyone, and therefore we're looking for those better relationships. You know, it took some time for me to reconcile relationships even in my own life, but through time and maturity, they happen. Now, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9. In verse 15, it says, we need to count the patience of our Lord as salvation. You know, we need to view God's patience as a positive. Do not look at God's patience as a negative, which becomes faith-shaking. The false teachers were claiming that the long duration of time showed that Jesus was not going to return and there was no need to live a holy life. Therefore, they encourage the people to live how you want to live. Oh, don't that sound familiar? Live and do however you please is almost the theme of our country. Live and do. Do whatever you want to do, as long as it makes you happy. But ladies and gentlemen, that does not follow what God wants. We are not to live in any way. We are to live godly lives. But Peter says that our lives are going to be exposed and we need to be found without spot and at peace. We cannot live how we want to live. Rather than be, we must live how God wants us to live. When we look at it, we must see time as the love of God trying to save more people. The Lord's patience is giving time for more people to be saved, for more people to be hearing the word. We do not look at time as God's inability to save or to act upon what his will is. Adopting this attitude in our lives can bring a peace and a calm in understanding the duration of time that Jesus' first coming and from the creation of the world. God loves people, and God wants everyone to be saved. Therefore, God is waiting in the hopes that more will be saved through the mission that we have of spreading the word. Paul tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, he says, first of all, I ask that you pray for all people. Ask God to bless them and give them what they need. And give thanks. You should pray for rulers and for all who have authority. Pray for those leaders so that we can live quiet and peaceful lives, lives full of devotion to God and respect for him. This is good and pleases God, our Savior. God wants everyone to be saved and to fully understand the truth. There is only one God, and there is only one way that people can reach God. That way is through Christ Jesus, who as a man gave himself to pay for everyone to be free. This is the message that was given to us as just at the right time. And so God wants us to utilize this time that we're having. We are going into, once again, 2020. You know, back in when I was in 1987, graduating high school, 2020 I thought was an unrealistic thought. I thought, you know, you see shows like the Jetsons and all this stuff, and you think about 2020, and we are in 2020, y'all. It's here. We cannot delay. It is always the moment, this moment, that we have to make sure that our salvation is secure. In verse 16, it says, which the ignorant and the unstable twist to their own destruction as they do the other scriptures. People twist scriptures. It's not a secret. They do it every day. They will take scriptures and they will twist them to fit their own itching ears. The false teachers were apparently taking the writings of Paul and using them in such a way to prove their own false teachings about the coming of Jesus. There are a number of important things that Peter says that we need to point out. First of all, not all scriptures are easy to understand. It's a fact. Not everything that we read in the Bible, we will understand, especially as we read it for the first time. I think this is a useful point for us to consider. We cannot expect to understand all of God's will on the first reading of his scriptures. The scriptures require study. The scriptures require diligence and perseverance to learn the depths of God's will. We would be foolish to walk into the scriptures half-heartedly and think that we are going to appropriately understand the scriptures as we read them. We cannot be lazy with God's word. Such laziness often leads to destruction, misinterpretations of the scriptures. There are some people who claim to be Christians who know a couple of passages, who know just enough to be dangerous, and who do not even try to invest their time in the true learning and application of God's word. But yet they spend all of their time trying to spread the falseness of what they think they know, instead of devoting their lives to learning the true meat of the word and understanding the full story of God. This is the reason that Jesus told parables while on the earth. His intentions were to cause people to think and to weed out those who were not truly committing and knowing him. God could have written the scriptures on a kindergarten level for us. It could have went something like this, y'all. See Jesus. See Jesus come to earth. See Jesus die. See Jesus rise 3 days later. See Jesus in heaven. But he didn't, because he wanted us to be invested. He wanted us to be committed in the reading and the understanding of his word. He didn't want things to come to us easily, because we take for granted things that come to us easily. And so he wanted us to work. He wanted us to study. He wanted us to commit time and effort to know his word through the studying of his word. And so we need to make sure that we understand, in God's mind, God wants a working Christian, working according to the learning of the word, through the application of the word, through the doing of the word. So when we look at this, not all scriptures are easy to understand. We have to work at it. We have to study them. We have to pray about them. We have to think about them. We have to teach them. We have to show them in our lives as we live our lives. The scriptures are not impossible to understand, and some are, time will tell. We will not know everything on this side, but God will show us when he needs it to happen. And so we must be diligent in the word of God. Even worse, Peter proclaims that many twist the scriptures and do so to their own destruction. Without working hard at the scripture, we will twist them unintentionally. Notice that Peter says the ignorant twist the scriptures. These are people who just do not know the scriptures and are unstable in the knowledge of the faith. They do not consider how the scriptures fit together. They do not see how their understanding of one passage draws them into direct conflict with other scriptures. They simply do not know God's word. Lack of knowledge will cause many problems. It is unfortunate how often this is the case, even in the church. There are many preachers and teachers and members who do not want to do the research, who do not want to do the work, who do not want to put in the time of study. But yet, everything that the Bible says, if we love Jesus, we must what? We must keep his commandments. And so if I'm not willing to study or to put in the effort of time to learn about Christ and God, do I truly love God? Becomes my question for myself. There are many times that we have seen people go out and preach and teach falseness. We even see it in the Bible, where people are not 100% right and they have to be corrected. It is our job to correct people, but we must do it in love. That must be the requirement. How often there are teachings where people are teaching things where you just want to say, where do you get that from? Or how do you come up with that? You know, so many times. How do we come up with the things that we have? How do we come up with things such as reverend and all these things that we have today? It didn't come from the Bible. So we ask, how or where did you get that from? Because God has given us everything in his word that we need for godliness. People twist the scripture when it comes to faith. People twist the scripture when it comes to salvation. People twist the scripture concerning divorce and remarriage. People twist the scripture concerning baptism. People twist the scripture when it comes to what it means to not be saved by works. And I can keep going on and on. Because it is easy to twist the scriptures if all I'm doing is talking and not committed to God. A common problem when it comes to the word of God is the failure to study. How often did Jesus have to say, have you not read? Of course, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law read the scriptures, but they did not understand the scriptures properly. There will be people who will intentionally twist the scriptures. There will be people who twist the scriptures because they do not understand. And even in the first century, Peter says there were people twisting the writings of Paul and the rest of the scriptures. Do not fail to notice the outcome, though. They twist the scriptures to their own destruction. You can run with whatever scripture you want to run with, but there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the ends thereof is death. And so it should be scary. It's almost scary to get up here, y'all, because I'm responsible for every word that comes out of my mouth. And if I twist it for my own benefit or I change it for my own benefit, it is my destruction that I'm facing. And every time we teach somebody, we should be approaching it in that light. The word of God is so pure, it is so right, and it does not need our help. It just needs to be said correctly and followed correctly. Finally, Peter proclaims in verse 17 and 18, it says, don't be carried away, but grow in grace and knowledge. We need to know that many people are going to be ignorant of the scriptures and will not listen to us. But we must keep on teaching anyway. We need to pay careful attention so that we are not carried away by these same errors and lose our stability ourselves. We need to watch out so that we are not led astray. We must understand that growing in grace and knowledge is the best defense and the best solution to fighting false teaching and the threat of falling away. This final teaching brings the letter in a full circle. We need to grow in what we know concerning the faith that has been given to us. But Peter is not simply calling us for an academic knowledge so that I may be able to beat my friends in Bible trivial pursuit. The growth in knowledge should cause a growth in our character. The knowledge of the scriptures is of no value if it does not change our lives. The more aware we are of God's grace through Jesus, the more we will hold fast to the end. We will not be likely to throw away our confidence or be shaken by false teachers. We will know that we have everything we need for life and devotion to God. We will hold on to the scriptures above all else. When others speak falsely about the word, we will not be moved. When people question whether there is a final judgment, we will not be swayed. When people use signs to try to defeat the scriptures, we will not be carried away from the faith, but yet we will more closer be to the Lord, knowing that everything Jesus has done is for the purpose of us getting to heaven. Peter proclaimed in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, he says, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Peter began this letter teaching that God's divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. And church, we have all that we need to make it through this life and to be in a relationship with God only if we stick with the word of God. Tonight, I challenge you, do not fall away from the Lord, but yet grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. There might be hard times in front of us, but we still must grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I just leave you. Make every effort to be spotless and to be at peace. See the time of God's patience as opportunities for us to teach and to learn. Don't twist the scriptures and don't follow those who do. And finally, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As I said this morning, there are steps that get us to where we need to be. Romans 10:17 says here, faith comes by hearing and the hearing of by the word of God. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that we must believe. It says, without faith, no one can please God. Whoever comes to God must believe that he is real and that he rewards those who sincerely seek. We must repent. Luke 13:3-5. No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And we must confess. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. And we must put Christ on in baptism. Galatians 3:26-27, Romans 6:3-6, Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through the following. If we do these things, we rejoice. Because if we really hold to the promise of God, and we can see and we can understand in our own minds and our hearts that picture that is painted in Revelations, of that second earth, that second home, that second Jerusalem, where we are all surrounding the throne, singing songs of praise to the one who created us all. If we believe that, and we go through and we live our lives in accordance with his will, it will be that. Whatever your need may be tonight, if you need to the prayers of this congregation, or you need to be placed Christ on in baptism, let it be known as we stand and sing the song of encouragement.